Wanganga yesterday. He got to a point whereby he had to really be behind me because he was really didn't know what was happening. Guys, we're going to open up and we're going to go downtown. When you go witnessing, of course, we shall learn how what you know what certain things you need to do. You know, like exactly what as Brother Wanganga was telling us. If you're a woman, do not go evangelize alone, okay? If you can go evangelize, just have your target as a woman. Because you have all kinds of people in downtown, and people have, let me tell you, people have emotional problems. The things that are we see as a manifestation physically is just drawn from the inner frustrations of life. I was talking to this young man yesterday, and he was just crying, telling me how he has been arrested. And let me tell you, this guy was quoting scriptures to me. You know, he has grown in church, and he knows the word of the Lord. But you know, something happened. He is in the streets. But you know what? There has to be somebody who is going to go ahead and encourage them. And I was just there listening. And eventually I told him, can I pray with you? And he was so willing. And I could see the brokenness. He was crying, man, just like a baby. And cut a long story short, about 8 souls came to the Lord. We thank God. Amen? I'm believing God that God is going to open up doors of finances for us. If we can have like a small little van, we can be going to get these people, bring them in the church, feed them, you know, and trust God even for who knows what somebody, when somebody will come into this church, the Lord can speak to somebody's and he can change the whole mental picture of how they view life. Amen. And some of those people there, down there, are very smart people. They're not just, you know, losers or people who don't have a sign of a boat, but it's just situations that befell them. So it was wonderful to go and witness to the people yesterday. We also had a wonderful, wonderful overnight meeting here. Kesha, wonderful, wonderful. And I know, you know, you'll be hearing about this. Thank God for all those. Whenever you have an opportunity, come to the house of the Lord. Amen? There are prayers that you can pray in your house, but there's prayers that you're supposed to come to the altar before the Lord and lay prostrate before the Lord in the house. Why do you think Elkanah and Hannah went dedicated? Every year they would go to Shiloh. Very far. They would have prayed in their home. But you know what? They dedicated themselves once a year to go to the house of the Lord. And the Bible records their experiences not in the house of Elkanah, but the experiences that took place in the house of the Lord at Shiloh. We read of how Hannah was spilling out her heart before the Lord. And the priest of the Lord thought that she was drunk. But you know what? When she lay prostrate and poured her frustrations in the house of the Lord answered. The Lord heard her cry. And that's why we have Samuel being born into the house of the Lord and dedicated into the house of the Lord. Praise God. So there are some prayers, church. Listen to me. Listen to me very keenly. There are prayers you can pray in your home, but there are prayers that are supposed to be prayed by the altar. You pouring and spilling your heart before the Lord. Amen? I know God will release. I've been praying. I started praying for God to reorganize your schedule. So if a supervisor calls you and tells you you've been working, you won't be working no Sunday, don't get surprised. There's somebody behind somewhere praying and reorganizing your schedule. I'm beginning to pray so that you do not get any assignments on Thursday, so that you not have any excuse not to come to the house of God. When they tell you, oh, you know what? We've decided to give you an off on Thursday. We've decided to give you an off on Wednesday. It will not be by an accident. It's just because somebody somewhere is praying. I'm trusting God that we can come whenever we have a meeting. Because you know what? I know that we can come. If one of us die, or if one of our relatives die, no one here is going to die. But if one of our relatives die, because it happens, don't we find time to go and do Maombolezo? Don't we find time? Come on, look at me. Don't look down. I'm gonna step on our feet right now. Don't we find time to go there? Don't we? Monday through Friday. And you find time, even though you can even ask for an off so that you can go. Or even sneak. Go spend maybe 15 minutes so that you can go to work. And you're going just there so that, and it is a good thing to go and mourn with those that are mourning. How about an appointment with the author of life? coming and congregating with other believers, like on Acacia Day. My God, I wish you were here. As men walked down the aisle and calling upon the name of the Lord, other laying prostrate, calling upon the name of the Lord. And I believe the atmosphere was changed. And we prayed for you even when you are asleep, because we believe that God is up for something good in our midst. Praise be to God. So even if it's 10 minutes, let me tell you, if it says one day in the courtyards of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere, that means even 10 minutes well spent in the presence of the Lord can make a very big difference in your life, in the life of your friends, in the life of your posterity, in the life of your family. Praise be to Jesus. And let me tell you guys, my brothers and my sisters, who I really honor and love, there is nothing that we are going to achieve without prayer. Somebody will have to kneel down. Somebody will have to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? In order for things to happen. Things don't just by chance. Are you listening to me? Things don't just happen by chance. Today I'm successful because my mother tarried in the presence of the Lord. Today you are successful because somebody called on the name of the Lord on your behalf. Your children are enjoying life because somebody, their grandma or somebody somewhere, called on the name of the Lord on your behalf. Amen? And so it is good to honor the Lord. Let me tell you, there are benefits of honoring the Lord. When you honor God, you will be honored. Hallelujah? Amen. Do you still love me? I have sometimes to step on our feet because you know what? We have to keep challenging ourselves to serve the Lord. I feel so delighted and charged up for what God is just about to do in our midst. And I'm not just telling you this for the sake of telling you. I feel like that servant of Elisha who was sent out by Elisha to see whether there was any sign of their deliverance. And every single time he would go, he would come up back to the servant of the Lord and say, that I can see nothing. There is so much that God is putting on our hands in order for us to accomplish. But you know what? God is not looking for superhuman beings with super abilities to accomplish his purposes. But he is looking for people who are willing to humble themselves. People who are willing not to use their strengths and abilities in competition with his strength. God is a jealous God, praise God. And he is not willing to compete his strength with the human beings that he created, with the strength of people who he created. God wants us to humble ourselves to a point whereby we will be willing and will be driven and will be willing just to surrender before his presence and tell him, God, send me where you want to send me. Because you know what? It comes to a point in life whereby we are so submitted before the Lord and we are so meek and we are so humbled before the Lord. At that very point, when everything seemed not to make any sense, we are the right candidate for the Lord to infuse his strength. And that's why men and women of old, you read of giants and characters in the Bible who humbled themselves and were willing and submitted before the Lord. When they submitted and humbled themselves, then God at that particular place and at that particular moment was ready to infuse his power. And they did exploits. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I would like you to be attentive because God has something to something good. I'm going to be very brief. I pray that the Lord will be able to help me to communicate the word of the Lord that he has put in my heart today. Open your Bibles into the book of Exodus chapter number 3. And I'm going to read. I think I'm going to be jumping up and down a little bit because of time. But I wish we can follow and you're going to be blessed. Amen. Exodus chapter number 3. One day, Moses was taking care of Jethro's flock. Jethro was the priest of Midian and also Moses' father-in-law. When Moses led the flock to the west side of the desert, he came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire coming out of the bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it was not burning up. So he said, well, I'll go closer to this strange thing. How can a bush continue burning without burning up? When the Lord saw Moses was coming to look at the bush, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Then God said, do not come any closer. Oh, Jesus. Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals because you're standing on a holy ground. I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have seen the troubles of my people, the way they have suffered in Egypt, and I have heard their cries when the Egyptian slaves' masters hurt them. I am concerned about their pain, and I have come down to save them from the Egyptians. I will bring them out of that land and lead them to a good land with lots of room. Praise somebody, say lots of room. A fertile land. It is the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. I've heard the cries of the people of Israel. Verse number 11, I'm jumping. But Moses said to God, I am not a great man. How can I go to the king and lead these Israelites out of Egypt? Verse number 12, God said, I will be with you. And this will be proof that I'm sending you. After you lead the people out of Egypt, all of you will worship you on this very mountain that I'm speaking to you from. Moses said to God, when I go to the Israelites, I will say to them, the God of your father sent me to you. What if the people say, What is his name? What should I tell them? Then God said to Moses, I am whom I am. When you go to the people of Israel, tell them, I am sent to you. Then God said to Moses, this is what you should tell the people. The Lord is the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He sent me to you. This will always be my name. Hallelujah. By which people from now on will know me. I love this. Go and gather the older leaders and tell them this. The Lord, the God of your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me. He said, I care about you and I have seen what has happened to you in Egypt. Verse number 19, but I know that the kings of Egypt will not let you go. Only a great power will force them to let you go. So I'll use my great power against Egypt. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just take this text. As we dissect it, Lord, I pray that you shall inspire me. Use my words, Lord, even to communicate to us that which you want us to learn. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know this story is a very familiar text. And I know how you all know how Moses was born and the predicament that befell him when he was born. He didn't have somebody to nurture him. And, there was an order that all the young men that were born in his time to be killed. And Moses' mother, prepared, a basket, and she just put Moses on the river. And how, the story how, Pharaoh's daughter came, and she was bathing in the river, and she saw this basket. She retrieved Moses, and she took Moses as a son. And you all understand how Moses grew in the house of Pharaoh. Now, I want to put it to you that Moses had about 3 40s. The first 40 years of his life, he spent his life in Pharaoh's house. He enjoyed life. He was a son of in the house of Pharaoh. He enjoyed all the esteem and all the respect and all the glories of the palace of Pharaoh. And a time came when he had to kill, he saw one of the Egyptians killing an Israelite. And he wanted to do it because, he was a man of authority at the time. And the Bible says he went and killed the Egyptians. That was the first 40 years of his life. He lived in splendor. He would command anybody, his servants, and they would go ahead and they would do and respond to his commands. And at this particular point, he saw an Israelite ranging against another Israelite, and he came to them and speaks to them, and he tells them, "And to you, both of you Israelites, why are you warring against each other?" And one of the Israelites told Moses, "Do you want to kill me there, the way you killed the Egyptian the other day?" And Moses' heart was grieved, and he realized that men had probably, the authorities had knew about what he had done, and he fled out of the palace. And when he fled out of the palace, God put him in a wilderness situation whereby he became a shepherd of sheep. Now, for some of you who have grown up in Africa, I have been given an opportunity to look after cattle and to take them to a grazing area. And let me tell you, in instances whereby sometimes you take animals in the forest, and in the forest, in the wilderness, it is so quiet and it's so lonely, and all that is in front of you are animals that are grazing and are eating. And Moses, for the next 40 years, he is destined, he is stripped of all his authority, he is stripped of all his kingly garments. And he is taken into a wilderness place whereby he is a shepherd. I want you to know, 40 years is a long time for you to have just a profession of taking care of animals. And you know the ins and outs and the diseases that would affect those animals. You would know the rightful grazing lands that you would take these animals. You would know the seasons that are right to take these animals at certain places. In other words, you would completely know everything about this sheep. Now, for those of you who may have had an opportunity to graze or to take sheep for grazing, you are quite familiar with the behavior of sheep. If somebody just called you a sheep, especially in our language, you would not be amused. If somebody calls you bolieno, I mean, it sounds, even the way it sounds, it doesn't sound right. But how many of you know that, we are an emblem? God looks at us as sheep. Have you ever seen a sheep going to a certain place? When one decides to cross the other, the road, all the sheep follow each other. Without even a knowledge why the leader decided even to cross the road. All of them follow each other. Praise be to God. But I thank God, because a sheep is so meek. It is obedient. It is a follower. A sheep follows each other. They stay together. Praise be to God. Within the 40 years that Moses took care of his uncle's sheep, Jethro, he smelled like sheep. He was familiar with their sounds. Praise be to God. He knew how do you know the sounds of sheep? We have goats and we have sheep, and they have different. Mutali, can you tell us how? Can you blat? Can you produce a sound of a sheep? No, that's a goat. That's a goat. How does a sheep, what is the sound of a sheep? Yeah, it's going, that was the sound that was familiar with Moses. Moses was familiar. He had gotten used with the blatting of the sheep. And let me tell you, church, that sound was good at the right time. God had introduced the blotting of the sheep. And here today, church, I am here. God has sent me to Empowerment Christian Center to tell you this, that there is a sound that is called the blotting of the sheep. And that even though you have never been a shepherd before, I want you to be familiarized with the blotting of the sheep. Because as Moses was stripped of his loyalty, as Moses was stripped of his loyal garments, the Lord leads him to a place whereby he would be alone. Somebody say alone. I like a place where I'm alone, because when you are alone, you have a tendency, oh God, to become friends with your maker. Loneliness has a tendency and creates an environment whereby it brings down, it strips you down of the things, of the high things that you've thought about yourself. Loneliness is good because when you're lonely and you have nobody you can call, have you been in a place whereby you're lonely when you thought of calling somebody and you picked up the handset in order to call them, you felt, no, I cannot share this with somebody, and you've been in a lone place? Oh, let me tell you, God has designated and designed times in your life for a purpose. There is a time every single one of us in this church has a story. Somebody say a story. You have had a story, and you can tell your story of times when you experienced plenty, you experienced favor, you experienced divine connections with other people. But you know what? There was a curve in your life when you took a corner, when everything seemed to stray away, when your friend seems to go away, when you called somebody for help, they would not even pick up a phone. It is for a reason. Glory be to Jesus. And I am going somewhere with this. God, when he has designated things to be accomplished here on earth, he designates people to do those things. And let me tell you, God is a jealous God, and he desires not to compete with any strength. He says, I am God. Praise be to God. My name is Jehovah. I exist within myself. I don't need anybody to come and help me articulate whatever I want to articulate on earth. I want to use somebody and infuse my power completely so that when they adjudicate the purpose for which I've put in them, people will know that it is not them that they did it, but they will glorify my name. Are you listening to me, church? And Moses, for 40 years had not even elapsed. And God's eyes, the Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles, that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth looking for people who are well committed to him so that he might use them to accomplish the purposes here on earth. During that time, there were many men that were living in Moses' time. But there was no one that was qualified like Moses, because Moses had been taken out of loyalty. He had tasted a good life, and he had learned what it was to live in loyalty. But a time came when God had to cut him a corner and lead him into meh. He was a professional shepherd, and he learned how to make detours in the midst of bushes and thorns and things that were unfavorable. He had a clock, and he had a shepherd's stick that he had used, and every morning he would wake up and he would go into this place. But God was dealing with his heart. Praise be to God. And when God looked into the face of the whole earth, and when he had a cry from the children of Israel, he looked for a man that he would use. Glory to Jesus. And there was no one who was favorable. There was no one who was qualified as Moses. Why? Because Moses had been in the wilderness, and the wilderness had shaped him. The wilderness had made him meek. The wilderness had humbled him. The wilderness had made him lose confidence in his strength. The wilderness had made him lose confidence in his ability. The wilderness has stripped him of his loyalty. The wilderness shaped his character to be used of God. And when God heard the cry of the Israelis, I have seen the afflictions of my people in Egypt. I have seen the heavy hand that has been dealt upon my people. And I can look, and I'm looking into every continent. I'm looking into the peace, into this land called earth that I created. And all that I can see, I see a man that is grazing and taking care of sheep, and his name is Moses. And at that very time, God brought a fire, as the Bible says. There was this burning bush, an experience, a burning bush. Moses saw a burning bush, but the bush was not being consumed by fire. God used this as an emblem to tell Moses, even though he would not comprehend it at that particular time, you know what? There is fire that I put in my people, but you know what? Nobody can consume them. I see the afflictions of my people in Egypt, and I can see the heavy hand upon my children Israel. I see like they are burning up. Oh, glory to Jesus. You might be under fire. You might have gone through some heavy situations, church. But when you looked at every corner of your life, you are on fire. Have you been in such a situation where you felt you're being burned up from every corner, but you are not being consumed? You still praise the Lord. You still say praise the Lord. And my God, you know what? Fire is all over you. Fire is all over your family. You didn't even have money to pay your bills. The collectors were calling you from left and right. But at the end of the day, there was food on your table, provision that was granted by the Savior. And you'd have an opportunity to hold hands and thank God. There would be fire on your life, but fire will never consume you. And God wanted to tell, to speak to Moses, I have seen the afflictions of my people, and I've seen the heavy hand, but I want you to know, Moses, that you're the one that I'm going to pick up. I know that the heavy hand is upon them, but the heavy hand is not going to destroy them. Here I am today to tell you, church, that you might be on fire. You might be even in raging waters almost consuming you. But I want you to know, as long as you can call upon the name of Jehovah, as long as there is a seal of God upon you, no fire can consume you. No water can drown you. Listen to me. You can even walk in the shadow of the valley of death, but death itself has no power against you. You are a child of God. God has put a mark of ownership in your life. You have a seal of God. Even in that office, when they plan to fire you, they will try to find mistakes to fire you, but they will find none. God can send confusion in the camp, and everybody will be walking every and about wanting and wondering why we have longed to fire this lady, but it seems that every time we come together to speak against her, she still survives. In other instances, I have seen God, when people come against you, on the other hand, God is organizing for you to be promoted. Have you seen that? Let me tell you, beloved, listen to me. Do not care. Do not even worry when people are against you. Because behind the scenes, God is working something behind. God is cooking something on the back burner. When you fear and you, let me tell you, let us train, and I'm speaking to us too. Let us train our ears to hear the voice of God. Let us train our eyes to see the things of God. Because our eyes might be seeing a different vision. But behind the scenes, God is cooking something on our behalf on the back burner. When they think that, oh God, you wait. This is the month that this guy is completely going to be shut down. Oh, let me tell you. They better be prepared because God is organizing for your promotion. Are you listening to me? And God saw the afflictions of the children of Israel. And when he saw Moses, and Moses was so, he got to a point. I mean, think about this. Was this not the Moses who just not a while ago, about 40 years ago, he saw an Egyptian and killed an Egyptian because he had an authority to do so? And now the Lord God Jehovah is coming to Moses, and he is telling him, you know what? I'm sending you. And he say, no, Lord, I'm not even able. I like that. I like when I feel like I'm not able to accomplish this purpose. I like the situations when I feel like, you know, oh God, how am I going to do this? I remember when we were doing the VBS, you know, for the children. And my wife, you know, received all this tutorial and received all this equipment, and everything was coming through the mail. And she came to me and told me, Tony, you know what? Can we talk to Sister Anne? Because I don't feel I can do this. And I told her, you can do it. Let me tell you. The moment you feel that you're not able, you don't qualify to do something, that is very nice. Appreciate when you feel like, God, how am I going to do this? I don't even qualify. Because God doesn't want you to be qualified. God just wants to use an instrument. God just wants to use a conduit. Hey, listen to me. Ha! Glory to Jesus. You know the pipe that delivers water in your house? It is just a pipe. It is just a metal. But on it, it delivers something that you really need. It is not the significance of the pipe, but it is what it delivers. And that is exactly what God is looking for. He is looking, are you willing? Are you ready? Yeah, I know that you're inside. I know how you feel. I know you feel insignificant. Glory be to Jesus. I know that you feel like you're not able to do it. But you know what? You're the right candidate. Because the moment I infuse my power in you, the moment I guide, the moment I lead you, I am going to receive glory from this place. Are you listening to me? It is a dangerous, does not the Bible say, him that thinks that he is, let him who thinks that he is strong, be careful, right? Him who thinks that he stands, let him be careful because he can fall. The moment you feel like, you know what, I am a prayer warrior. I've read the Bible. I even pay my tithes and you feel like, you know what, I'm able to do it. Let me tell you, church, be careful because at that particular moment you can fall. Are you listening to me? But God wants meekness. I love the wilderness experience because God humbles us. God causes us to be meek. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me, church? God, if we want to accomplish great things for the Lord, we have to come to a place whereby we are familiar with the wilderness and God will be willing to use us. And this is exactly what he says. These are the names that he told Moses. After Moses said, I am not able. Who am I going to tell? Who am I? I'm a man of slow speech. Remember what he was saying? I'm a man of slow speech. I cannot even put words together. You know, have you ever heard people who stammer? Yeah? There's a friend of mine who calls me on the phone. But you know what? A conversation that is supposed to take 3 minutes, it takes about 10 or 20. Because when you talk, you say, you know. I'm not laughing at the man because this is exactly what Moses was. I'm a man of slow speech. How am I going to convince Pharaoh? I've been to the palace. I know their hearts. How am I going to do this? But God said, I want to introduce you to my names, my God. I want you to introduce to my names. Listen, look at verse number 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. Glory be to Jesus. God has designed to use some of us or all of us here in this church. Sammy, it is not going to be by your strength that you lead the Bible study. The moment you cease to be seen as you are the particular person who is doing it and your abilities, God is going to shoot you to a level you've never seen. Anybody who has have been privileged to take a position to lead, to do anything in the church, I want you to know that I am has sent you. Amen? It is not Pastor Tony who has sent you because I'm a mere man. I'm disappointing so many people. I am a disappointment sometimes to myself. But when you know that I am has sent you, my God, when you know I am has sent you, you are going to do it because he is the one who has sent you. And listen, and God said two names God would be known by. What are the meaning of this name? A name that speaks what he is in himself. I am that I am. This explains his name, Jehovah. I am that I am is another name of Jehovah and signifies, number one, that he is self-existent. He has his being of himself. Do you understand that? He has his being of himself. He has no dependence upon any other. And being self-existent, he cannot but be self-sufficient. And therefore, all sufficient and the inexhaustible fountain of being and bliss. Secondly, that he is eternal and unchangeable, always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He will be what he will be and what he is. Thirdly, that he is faithful and true to all his promises, unchangeable in his word as well as his nature, and not a man that he should lie. Let Israel know that God, this is his character. This is the personality that is sending you. When you go to Atlanta, We did not even send you. It is I am who is sending you. And when you know that I am is sending me, you represent his authority and his aura, his personality. Are you listening to me? You represent his aura, his dominion, his kingdom. You are representing his kingdom. We are just but nothing. But when he infuses his power in us, my God. Just think about this. A shepherd. Moses was just a shepherd. But God infuses his power and he sends him out. And eventually, you know how the story ends up. He delivers the children of Israel. Praise be to God. So the 40 years, and the 40 years after he delivers the children of Israel, on the third 40 of his life, he is the king in Jeshurun. Now listen to another story, and I'm going to conclude. This one is going to be very quick. It is a story that is drawn from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. You know, you all know about this story. It is about Goliath and David. David and Goliath. The Philistines had heard about the situation in the camp of the children of Israel. And you read the story, you learn that at this particular time, Samuel was against Saul. And you know what? It looks like Saul was not doing the right business. And let me tell you, every time there's confusion in the church, the enemy wants to take advantage of that. He wants to come when there's confusion so that he can knock one each other, you know, one by another. And so it's very, very important for us to be united. It's very, very important for there to be peace in our homes. It's very, very important for people not to be talking ill of others. It's very, very important to be holding and loving each other as brothers ought to do. And at this very time, the Philistines thought this was the right time to attack the camp of the Israelis. And so they organized their armies. And at this time, the Israelites also knew that there was going to be a battle. And now they're facing each other. And I can see in the camp of the Israelites, they were kind of shaking. And as they were just organizing, one of the champions from the Philistines called Goliath. Actually, his height was 9 feet, 9 inches. You can imagine how tall he was. He cried out and he said, "What are these? Are you not the servants of Saul? I am the champion." And the Bible says that he was dressed in all kinds of armor. Heavily armed. You know, the Bible says that he had a helmet that was made of brass. And his coat was a coat that was made out of metal. I mean, a tall guy. His javelin was like a pole. A pole. Have you ever seen a pole? The kind of a weapon, the spear. And he was mighty. And this is exactly what the Bible says. That when he cried and when he roared and he made declaration, there was fear in the camp of the Israelites. Actually, the Bible says Saul and the Israelites were shaken by his voice. And you know what? Go and read verse 16 and see what it says. Because when I was reading that, I thought that I'd never seen that. It says this, that even as they prepare to engage in war, this champion, the Philistine, did so for 40 days, morning and evening. He would come and he would cry and he would say, "Hey, I need somebody to kill." And this will shed tremors. It will shed tremors into the camp. And the Israelites had just a fresh memory of what Jonathan had done. Jonathan had led the children of Israel into defeating the Philistines. They keep on fighting from time immemorial. And you know what? He was mighty in conducting a warfare, and they defeated and trounced the Philistines. But a time had come for God to show himself strong in a man who was in just looking after, who was a shepherd. Praise be to God. Let me tell you, I think there's something about number 40. I don't know whether you've had a 40-day, a 40-year, a 40-whatever experience that you had. 40 is significant because it is a number that represents testing. For 40 days, for 40 years, Moses is in the wilderness. And he is looking after the cattle, after his uncle's herd. And towards the end of the 40, God shows up and he finds him meek. There is a process that God sometimes wants to take us and a cycle that we have to complete so that we can qualify for his mission. Are you listening to me? And the Bible says that for 40 days, this Philistine would come in the morning and he would cry out, and in the evening he would do the same. Now think for a minute. For a month and a half, Goliath used to say this, and Saul would tremble and the children of Israel would tremble. And one day God knew this was a time. I've heard enough of this Philistine. I've heard of enough of this terror that is being sent out to my people. And God sent out David, the son of Jesse, to go and take care of his three brothers who are actually on the battle. And when he's taking these three sons, he overheard this Goliath. I think it could have been maybe in the morning or in the evening. But he overheard what this man was speaking out towards and defiling the name of the Lord. And he said, what is that? Imagine for 40 days there wasn't anybody. But there was a cycle of testing that was being done at the back burner. And that's why I'm saying, let me tell you, there could be giants in your life that have come in your home. It could be financial giants. It could be maybe health giants. It could be giants that came in a form of whatever form that it took in your families and in your life. Let me tell you, you could be going through a cycle. And it is not done until the Lord has said it's done. Something is cooking behind the back burner even when you do not know about itself. And God is getting ready to send a divine connection to come and annihilate the camp of the enemy. It doesn't matter how loud, how strong they might be. It doesn't even matter how absurd the situations might look. Because your eyes, when you look at it, it looks like, oh God, I am done. This is it. But when you continue to call upon the name of the Lord, something will be cooking at the back burner. Oh, glory to Jesus. I know I'm speaking to somebody who is going through some situations in your life, and you've faced these giants for a process, and you wonder, when is this giant going to be driven out of my face? It is just about time. It just stay strong and keep your trust in God, because God is working something at the back burner. And David comes at the scene. And he overhears what this Philistine was saying. And you know that this is what really makes me feel so good about David. When David hears about this, the children of Israel had this for 40 days, twice, actually 80 times almost. Every day, twice. Can you imagine what terror that had sent into the camp? God, and this is the declaration that the Philistine had said, I want you to give me one man. Give me Jonathan, who defeated us the other day. Or give me whoever you have. And the person who wins, their people will submit to the other. That was the declaration that was said. And David, I can see the young boy coming here, you know, he was a shepherd, you know. He would come into the battle just to supply to his brothers, and he would go take care of the sheep. Let me tell you, I think I love the business now of taking care of sheep. Because I think God used to come and be with David, even as he heard. He says, you know what? Oh, there was a bear that came and snatched. You know, he's just saying, like, it's like daily rhetoric that we have. And, you know, I'm going to the Walmart, I'm going to do this. That's what he's saying. Oh, you know what? The other day, there was this bear that came and it was trying to snatch one of the sheep of my father. And you know what? I pulled it by the hair and I struck and it died. Have you guys watched National Geographic, Nat Geo? Have you seen the size of a bear? Have you seen, I've watched, you know, a bear crush a human being, actually. It was actually being blurred because it was so horrific. A bear is taller than a human. I think it stands at almost 7 feet, and it's so humongous. And this is the animal that David says, I just pulled it by the hair, I struck it, and it died. The other day, the lion just came and it just took hold of my father's sheep. And you know what? I just disconnected his jawbone. I mean, have you ever watched these animals? One day we went to the zoo with my wife and my children. And, you know, we were passing by the zoo. And it so happened at the very time when we got, by where the lions were, this lion, man, it made just a big roar. My wife told me, now, can we get out of the zoo? Can we go home? That's exactly what Catherine told me. Can we get out of here? Because, you know the way it rolls. And this is the same animal that David says, a young boy. Oh, you know what? I just slid it and I killed it. So who is this man that is just trying to defy the armies of the Lord? They mean the confidence. There is a place, there's something that happens, a process that takes place when we are in a wilderness situation. Are you listening to me? I pray that God will lead each one of us. It may not really be palatable or easy to take in, but pray that God, the God of the heavens, the God who wants to send you, takes you to a place of a wilderness experience. Because in the wilderness, the Lord will work on you. And he will give you such a conviction. Sister Purity told me in the morning, God will, your expectation will not be cut off. It will be just synonymous. You'll be walking with the Lord, and there won't be any situation that you can't conquer. My God. And David just overhears this. And when Eliab heard about what David was just about to do, he shoved him up. You stupid, get out of here. You're supposed to be taking care of animals. Are you out of your mind? You want to face this man? He has been rolling up. He has been shouting and crying out battle cries for 40 days. Who are you? Get out and go and take care of your father's sheep. Have you ever had people just shunning you off? But you know, listen, Sister Charity, you've been in a wilderness experience. When those voices, you hear them, you say, what have I done? That's what David said. What have I done? I mean, this is nothing. This is nothing because I've had an experience with the Lord. And you know how their story ended up. He just went, you know, they clothed, you know, Saul actually was almost confused. And he puts heavy armor clothes with the, you know, on David. And he's not even able to move. He said, oh, you know what? I'm not used to this. I'm not used to using my power. I'm not using, you know, in the wilderness, God used, you know, works on you so that, you know what, your abilities are kind of subjected to God's abilities. In the wilderness experiences, God causes you to denounce your power and your wisdom and your knowledge and the way you have been structured to do things, and you're able to submit before the Lord. I'm not used to this armor. I'm just used to carry stones and a kigoda, a string. And he said, oh, you know what? I just need 5 stones. And he gets into his bag and picks up one. And you know when he does that? No, this has never been seen. The Bible says he runs towards the Philistine. And the Philistine actually says, am I a dog that you're coming to me with the sticks? Can't you see the armor in which I'm clothed? Can't you see? Can't you even see my height? I'm going to feed you to the bird of the air. Let me tell you. The moment people say that, you know what, you're going to go back to Kenya, you're going to be destroyed, don't worry about it. Don't even open up your mouth. Because God on the back burner is working things out. It just took one stone, and the guy was hit up here, and he died. And this Goliath was no more. And the children of Israel, God caused them to chase the Philistines, and they trounced them, but it took a man who was in the wilderness. It took a man who was well separated. It took a man who was completely denied himself and his strength, and he had experienced the Lord. He knew that whenever I take on anything, my expectation is not going to be cut off. Glory be to Jesus. Your expectations tonight, church, is not going to be cut off. Do not be worrisome about the things that you're facing right now. I hear in my spiritual ears right now that there are some of us who are facing giants in your life, and you've worried and tarried. Sometimes you don't even have sleep. Listen to me, church of God. The seal of God is upon your life. That by itself, when the blood of Jesus, when God looks at the blood of Jesus, it doesn't matter how God is going to come. Because God is connecting things up for you. Even when you are asleep, God, glory to Jesus. Does not the Bible says that God even causes us to prosper while we are sleeping. Hallelujah. Because there is a mark of ownership in your life. I am here to tell you, do not worry of the things that you face. Because even as there was that giant that rolled and cried out and brought shivers. Oh, glory to Jesus. I have been through some things that when I think about them, it brought shivers into my body. I didn't even know what to do. I didn't even know how to pay my bills. But as suddenly, glory to Jesus. I suddenly came, and all of a sudden I either had a way of how to do certain things. I even, somebody came and maybe called me and told me, oh, you know what, I had this money that, oh, something. God is creating and connecting things under sea. Amen? So do not reject the wilderness experience. God will take some of you, will begin to take some of you in the wilderness experience. in the wilderness experience, you have no business. I have no business. Well, let me tell you, when I'm in the wilderness experience, I don't even think about what are other people's abilities. I don't even think about what God is doing and promoting other people, because I know when I'm through my cycle, when I get through the 40 days, I know something will shine up until everybody will know that this man has been with the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Church, listen. Love the wilderness experience, and God is going to do something good for us. Glory be to Jesus. Shall we stand on our feet? Our time is so much gone. But I feel so persuaded, so strongly, that the things that we face and the things that we are going to face, they might be strong. They might be humongous when we look at them with our physical eyes. When you hear about the cry, when you hear about the battle cry, it will bring shivers down your spine. But in you, there are potentials that God wants to use so that you can accomplish the mission, God's mission. God's eyes are ranging throughout the world. Do not discount your abilities. Do not even discount who you are. You might be a mother having little children, and you have been saying, oh, you know what, I'll be able to go when these children grow up. No. God wants to use your heart. He has a way of how he can use it, because I am is sending us. I am is sending you. Somebody say, I am is sending me. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because our expectation is not going to be cut off. When we feel that we are surmounted by evil, we are surmounted by our enemies. And when we look on the left, when we look on the right, there's nothing we see but enemies. Things that are ready to get rid of us and get us out of our position. Father, help us to know this, that you're working something on the back burner. And it's just a question of time. You're willing for us to go through the cycle. And the moment we go through the cycle, God, there are certain things you'll be doing in our hearts, creating some meekness, Lord, creating humility within us, Lord, discounting our abilities, discounting our efforts, Father, to do certain things. You want somebody to come to that place where he feels that, Lord, I'm not able to go. I'm not able to do this. I'm not able to do the other. And then at that point, you love the candidate. He qualifies because you're able and ready to infuse your strength. I pray, God, Lord God, that you shall use as many as come to this church to know that they have within them abilities that can conquer mountains. There are people in the streets of Dallas, Texas that are waiting for them to come and give them the emotional support, the crying shoulder. There are people in the streets of Dallas, Texas who are waiting for their voices to come and tell them it's going to be well with you. And I pray that, Father God, that after you have taken us through the wilderness experience, that, Father, we shall be shining out, your word bubbling out of our mouths to tell somebody, I've been there and I've seen the Lord sustain me. It is going to be well with you. Lord, may you send us. Lord, may you prepare us to the glory and honor of your name. We are grateful for what you have done, and we give you the glory. I pray that, Father God, even as we go out, Lord, even to minister to the hearts of men and women, Lord, people who are desperate and have emotional things that are going on in their lives, that we shall be the representatives, the extended hand of Jesus, telling them that it's going to be okay. Send us, oh God, to destroy the armies of the Lord, to destroy the enemies of the army of the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. Amen. Can you give a mighty hand clap?